إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you. We continue reading from الملخص الفقهي from Noble Sheikh العلامة الدكتور صالح الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات أجمعين في كتاب الحج، باب في أعمال يوم التروية ويوم عرفة. We're going to continue and still in a section of Hajj and in the chapter what's to be done in Yom Tarawiyah, the day of Tarawiyah and the day of Arafah. قال الشيخ حفظه الله تعالى: إن الأنساك التي يحرم بها القادم عندما يصل إلى الميقات ثلاثة: الإفراد والقران والتمتع. The Sheikh says, when a person intends to perform Hajj, as we learned in previous classes, that a person should be in a state of ihram by making their intentions for Hajj, and that's not from his house but rather from the miqat. And we learn what the miqat is. It's a specific point assigned by the Prophet ﷺ, that no one should pass it without being in a state of ihram if that person, he or she, intends to perform Umrah or Hajj. And the person who's making Hajj, he can make Hajj choosing from three rites, which is an ifrad, and the Shaykh is going to explain what it is. Likewise, al-qiran, and the third one is al-tamattu. قال أما الإفراد وهو أن ينوي الإحرام بالحج فقط ويبقى على إحرامه إلى أن يرمي الجمرة يوم العيد ويحلق رأسه ويطوف طواف الإفاضة ويسعى بين الصفا والمروة إن لم يكن سعى بعد طواف القدوم. Now if a person chooses to make Hajj and he chooses the ifrad, he want to make it as a mufrid, what does it mean? It means that at the miqat, this person, he make the intention only for Hajj. At the miqat, when a person first get to Saudi Arabia, he's going to do only Hajj. No Umrah, only Hajj. Only Hajj, no Umrah. So he says, Labbaik Allahumma Hajj. That's it. But this person, when he gets to Mecca and make tawaf, and if he choose to make sa'i as well, he stays on his ihram. Doesn't matter when he gets to Mecca. If he gets to Mecca in the first of Dhul Qa'dah, and he go make tawaf and sa'i, for instance, he's going to stay on his ihram, the clothing and the intention, meaning all the things that we learn as haram for the muhrim to do, that person still apply on him. When? Until the 10th of Dhul Hijjah. So he's going to stay on ihram for what? For a month and 10 days. If a person go on the 2nd or the 3rd of Shawwal, this person, he's going to be on ihram for 2 months and 10 days. He cannot cut his nails, his hair. He cannot put perfume on, cannot wear the regular clothing. If his wife with him, cannot have anything with her. You see? As opposed to the mutamatti, the person as the Sheikh is going to explain, the mutamatti, even if he go on the first or the second of Shawwal, and he's, alhamdulillah, he has the money, he's going to stay there until Hajj, then he's going to go make tawaf, sa'i, shave his head, finish the umrah, come out. He's no longer a muhrim. It will take him 4, 5, 6 hours, and that's it. Unlike the mufrid, he's going to stay on ihram until he throws Jamrat al-Aqaba. And Jamrat al-Aqaba, he has a time for it. You can't throw it whenever you want. He has to be on the 10th of the Hijjah. Until the 10th, the day of the Eid that just passed, by the way. And as we're speaking about the Hajj, alhamdulillah, may Allah make it easy for the Hajjaj, the pilgrims who are still there. Because today, in matter of fact, is the 12th of the Hijjah, which is permissible for certain pilgrims to finish the Hajj today. Those who throw the Jamarat today, they can leave. They can leave. But those who choose to wait until tomorrow, the 13th, is better for them. It's better for them. It may be now, as we speak, it may be some people are already on the plane coming back home. Going back home. Alright? Because they finished. Today is the last day of Hajj. The 12th. All they have to do is to make tawaf al-wada' and leave. And that's what happens sometimes. Some people, they have their plane right in the midnight or early in the morning, like by Fajr, which is... Some people, they be in the airport as we speak, because now it's 8 o'clock almost here in America, Eastern Time, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. So, some people now at the airport trying to leave. Inshallah, may Allah make it easy for them and bring them back safe to their loved ones. And may Allah accept from those who amongst them who perform their Hajj upon the Sunnah. Ameen. So this Mufrid, he stays until the day of the Eid on his Ihram. Then he shave his head and he go to make Tawaf, Al-Ifadah and Sa'i. Also between Safa and Marwa, unless if he did that in the first time. Because the person who make intention only for Hajj, once they come to Mecca the first time, everybody, this is a rule, anybody who is making Umrah or Hajj, they have to make Tawaf. Okay, that's the first thing they do. Now, if this person making Ifrad, he choose whether to make Sa'i or to wait until the 10th of the Hijjah. If he choose to make the Hajj the first time, the Sa'i, then that Sa'i counted for his Hajj. You see? Meaning, on the 10th of the Hijjah, this person make only Tawaf. He doesn't have to make another Sa'i. Because the Mufrid is upon him two Tawafs, Tawaf al-Qudum and Tawaf al-Ifadah, and one Sa'i, Sa'i al-Hajj. والقران هو أن ينوي الإحرام بالعمرة والحج مع إمام الميقات وهذا عمله كعمل المفرد إلا أنه يجب عليه هدي التمتع. The one is قران. If a person choose to do the قران, حج by قران. At the ميقات he intends حج and عمرة together. حج في عمرة. حج and عمرة together he combine. Okay. He does the same thing as the Mufrid in the Ifrad do. The only difference is that the person who did the Qur'an, he has to slaughter an animal. But the Mufrid, there is no animal upon him in Hajj, the Mufrid. And this animal I'm talking about is not the Udhiyah. No, this is a Hadi, okay, of Shukran. Giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sends the ulama, he says, this person in one trip, he's making Umrah and Hajj together. وَالتَّمَتَّعُ وَأَنْ يُحْرِمَ بِالْعُمْرَةِ مِنَ الْمِيقَاتِ وَيَتَحَلَّلْ مِنْهَا إِذَا وَصَلَ إِلَى مَكَّةِ بِأَدَاءِ أَعْمَالِهَا مِنْ طَوَافٍ وَسَعِيٍ وَحَلْقٍ أَوْ تَقْصِيرٍ ثُمَّ يَتَحَلَّلْ مِنْ إِحْرَامِهِ ويبقى حلالا إلى أن يحرم بالحج. تمتع, the third one, is that a person make the intention for Umrah at the Miqat. Once he get to Saudi Arabia, he make the intention for Umrah. Is it always when he gets to Saudi Arabia? Is it always when he gets to Saudi Arabia and make his intention? If he reached the Miqat. This one was making a point that keep in mind those people who are flying on the planes, they should not wait until the plane touch in Jeddah, for example. They have to engage in the state of Ihram while they're still in the plane, but they are already on Saudi Arabia soil. Because the Miqat is not in Egypt or in Iraq or in Yemen. These Miqats are inside Saudi. They are on Saudi soil. But remember, we learn if somebody is traveling to make Hajj or Umrah by plane, and they go into Mecca first to make Umrah or Hajj, they should not wait until the plane lands in Jeddah. Because Jeddah is not a miqat for the people who come from other places, okay? Jeddah is the miqat for the people that live in Jeddah only, alright? Or somebody who came to Jeddah for the ulama research, for a business, for example. And then he spent a couple of days in there, he finished his business, and then he thought he's going to be hectic, you know, he has like 4 days, he thinks those 4 days going to be all business, but then he finished in 2 days. So then he has 2 more days before his flight. What that person can do now? Yes, he can make Umrah. He can make his intention, and he don't have to go on Miqat. The ulama, they mentioned he can make the miqat from where he had, that's his miqat become, alhamdulillah. So the mutamatti, he make the ihram, he engage in a state of ihram from the miqat, with the umrah. Once he performed the umrah, by making tawaf around the house of Allah, making the sa'i between Safa and Marwa, and shave or trim their hair, okay, then the person finish the ihram. He's no longer in the state of ihram until the 8th of the Hijjah, when he once again engage in the state of ihram again by for Hajj. قال الشيخ وأفضل الأنساك هو التمتع فيستحب لمن أحرم مفردا أو قارنا ولم يسوق الهدي أن يحول نسكه إلى التمتع ويعمل عمل المتمتع. The Sheikh, he says, and not just him, ulama, they mentioned that the best of these three, the best of these three is At-Tamattu' Abdul-Hakim. Now you're going to learn something in Arabic, okay? If you don't mind. When somebody sneezes and said Alhamdulillah, we say to him Yarhamukallah. Say it, say Yarhamukallah. Yarhamukallah. يرحمك الله. Nah. It's Arabic is better, right? Alhamdulillah. So if somebody sneezes and says Alhamdulillah, what do you say to him, Abdul Hakim? يرحمك الله. You're going to learn by practice. You just take a couple of brothers to sneeze around you more, inshallah. Don't fake it, brothers, okay? جزاكم الله خير. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. So the Sheikh says the best of these three. What is the best? Ifrad, Qiran, Tamattu? Says Tamattu. This is easy and Alhamdulillah, it's got reward in it. So therefore it is recommended for anyone who made it to Mecca intending to do Ifrad, they can switch it to Tamattu. They can. If somebody go with the intention to make Hajj by Ifrad, then they can. They can switch it by making tawaf, completing Umrah, alhamdulillah. Likewise, it is recommended also, the Shaykh says, for the one who يرحمك الله. So now you sneezing. ما شاء الله. So now we'll tell you يرحمك الله. Okay? But after three times, he should know. يرحمك الله. Okay. By the way, I share something with you. Since we're talking about Mecca and sneezing, I was in Mecca 2 years ago, maybe 10 years in Hajj. And you know, in Hajj, a lot of people get sick. There's so many people in one area, they get sick and the diseases, you know, they get transmitted easy. Well, alhamdulillah, people get sick, alhamdulillah. I was with my brother from UAE, my brother Abu Uthman, Hafidhahu Allah, and we went to Sheikh Rabia's house. And late at night, we ate dinner with the Sheikh and we sat with him. So now we're coming back to where we're staying. We caught a cab with this brother from Bangladesh. Alhamdulillah, they get there, they began to learn Arabic. Alhamdulillah, because they live there. Like me, when I came to America, I had to learn English. Still learning, by the way. So, if you meet me 20 years ago, man, you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, if I talk to you, you'll be like, huh? Russian? Chinese? Korean? It's like English, brother. You don't understand English? It's like, English? Anyway, we get this cab. My friend, the man, was sick. He has cold, flu. So he sneezed. And the driver, he said, Alhamdulillah. Then my friend sneezed again. The driver said to him, Alhamdulillah. His brother keeps sneezing. Alhamdulillah. One moment he said to him, Anta fi katir achi achi. And he said, you sneeze a lot. Anta fi katir achi achi. Anta ma fi yarhamukallah. Anta fi tabib. It's like it's a broken Arabic. But he was saying to him, man, you sneezing a lot now. So there's no yarhamukallah for you anymore. You have to see a doctor. You have to see a doctor. I know. See, that shows people, even they come to work, but they learn, yeah, they learn from being around the ulama. They learn the sunnah because they are in the land of sunnah. Because the cab driver, even though they came from another country, but they sit, sometimes you never know who they be taken somewhere. Like for instance, I share with you, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was in Mecca, and after he prayed in the haram, he took a cab. The cab driver didn't know who is with him. Subhanallah. If me, I was the driver of Sheikh Martin, come with me, I take off that day. But subhanallah, this man don't even know who's with him. But the Sheikh Martin, look, the akhlaq and the manners of the ulama, he introduced himself to the driver. He said, Hayyak Allah, Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen. The driver looked at him and said, what? He says, Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen. He says, you Muhammad ibn Uthaymeen? He says, yeah. Then the Shaykh says, what's your name? Abdul Aziz ibn Ubaz. The driver said to the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, I'm ibn Ubaz. You know? The Shaykh said to him, you're ibn Ubaz? Can't say that. You're not ibn Ubaz. Well, the driver said, if you're ibn Uthaymeen, I can be ibn Ubaz too. If you are ibn Uthaymeen, why can't I be ibn Ubaz? Because he thought like this man is just trying to take the name of ibn Uthaymeen. Then the Shaykh smart, he said to him, you cannot be ibn Ubaz. He said, why not? He says, because ibn Ubaz cannot drive a car, man, he's blind. Then the man, he's like, so you really know what I mean? He says, man, he stopped the car and kissing the Shaykh. Subhanallah. It's amazing. The ulama is so modest. Share with you another story, shall we say? But that's going to be the last, because we have to finish this car. Of course, these stories are real, by the way, okay? They're real. And they are documented, alhamdulillah, by the students of this mashayikh. They mentioned also that Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he was coming back on a trip, coming back to his house. It is in Buraida, in Qasim. It is a city called Buraida in Provence called Qasim. It's right by Riyadh and in the middle, towards the middle of the Saudi Arabia. and it is known with its dates, has nice dates in Qasim. So, and perhaps many other things. But alhamdulillah, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he was there, that's what he used to teach, alhamdulillah. So he was in a car with a couple of his students or family members, or maybe students. As they drive, you know, Saudi Arabia is nothing but, it's desert. It's a lot of desert in there. So as they pass in a desert hat there, yaqi, in the highway, they pass by this man walking. So Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he said to them, did we just pass somebody walking? They said, yes. Yeah. Stop the car. So they stopped the car and waited until the man catch up with them. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he said to him in person, he went out and said to him, he gave him salam. He said to him, can we help you? The man says, yeah, yes. He says, where are you going? The man says, I'm going to Buraida. So Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said to him, subhanAllah, we're going to the same city. Allahu Akbar. You want to come? The man says, yeah, please. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen says, two conditions. You don't smoke in the car. He didn't ask him, do you smoke? Easy. He said, you don't, no smoking in the car. He didn't say to him, do you smoke? He says, no smoking in this car, and we remember Allah as much as we can. The man said, that's easy, you got it. In matter of fact, that's why I'm walking. Because I was with these people in the car, and they keep smoking until I'm taqillah, ya akhi. You're smoking. They said, listen, if you don't like it, get out. He said, stop, I get out. You see? Allah. He get out for Allah, sake, Allah send him a better ride. You see? He said, stop the car. He said, that's why I get out of the car anyway. Because some people that was with, they smoking. They didn't want to listen. He said, as for remembering Allah, jazakallah khayran, jazakallah khayran. That's your right. We're supposed to remember Allah all the time. They get in. The men get in. The Shaykh says, give him some beverages. Are you hungry here? Then the Shaykh Rajameen began to talk to him. MashaAllah, you live there? He says, no, I'm just going. You visit somebody? He says, no. The man says, I'm just going to have a couple of questions for Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. I have a couple of questions for Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen has the sense of humor. He said to him, why didn't you ask him when he was talking to you earlier? You see? He said, why didn't you ask him when he was talking to you earlier? The man didn't get it. And he says, yeah, Shaykh, you're as old as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. So let it do the way it is, all right? Alhamdulillah. That's it. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he say, oh, I am Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. What you got? How did they arrive? They get, then Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he said to him, see the masjid? That's where Ibn Al-Uthaymeen, alhamdulillah, he prayed. Inshallah. That's it. The man went there and wait until he came. Salat is finished. The same man was with him in the car. He's the one who's sitting to teach the people and to answer these questions. Their questions. Alhamdulillah. Alayhin ya akhwan. May Allah grant us this modesty and the akhlaq of the ulama.
Amen.
The modesty of the akhlaq of the ulama. Subhanallah. It's amazing when you read their biographies and their lives. Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Uthaymeen, Sheikh al-Albani, this great Sheikh Muqbil and others amongst them, subhanAllah, Sheikh Rabia, Sheikh Fuzan. It's amazing, akhi, their lives and the sacrifice they make and their manners, good akhlaq. Aina, do you have your hand up?
Yeah, I was asking if it's from the Sunnah, after three times if somebody is sneezing, you can say Shafakallah.
Inshallah, we'll get you the answer. So the Shaykh says, so the best of this ansak is tamattu. So therefore, if a person is a qarin, is mufrid, can change it to tamattu. All they have to do is to complete the umrah, alhamdulillah. The qarin can also change it to tamattu, but with one condition, who knows? Who knows the condition? One condition.
Yes.
Huh? No.
Was he brought his animal with him?
He brought it?
His animal.
He did not bring it. Unless if he brought the animals with him. Because the Qarin, he has a hadi too. If that person was making hajj, let's say he's coming from Medina, but he brought with him the animal he's going to slaughter on the day of the hijjah, on the 10th, that person cannot change. But if he did not bring the animal with him, The ulama, we asked them the question, he said, what about the sheikh, the one who's bringing the money to buy the animal in the tent? He says, that's different. That's different. So if a person, a qarin, he has the intention in the miqat to make hajj by the way of qiran, but this person didn't bring with him the animal of hadi to slaughter on the tent of the hajjah, he didn't bring it with him from his hometown, then that person can switch it. Okay? But if the person brought with him the animals for hadi, cannot switch it until he slaughtered the hadi on the tent of the hajj. Now, الو يستحب لمتمتع أو مفرد أو قارن تحول إلى متمتع وحل من عمرته ولغيره من المحليين من المحلين بمكة أو قربها من المحلين بمكة أو قربها والإحرام بالحج يوم التروية وهو اليوم الثامن من الحجة. So now, for those people who they change their intention from Ifrad or Qiran to Tamattu, they all get out of the state of Ihram after they complete their Umrah, and they remain in Mecca or around Mecca, alhamdulillah, wherever they stay. Okay? And then they engage in the state of Ihram once again on the day called the Day of Tarwiyah. The ulama, they mention why it is called the Tarwiyah. كانوا يروون فيه الماء because that day people used to carry water to Mina. Mina didn't have water, so they used to carry water ahead for the Hijjaj. But it is the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. This year was the what day was it? Thursday. The past Thursday was the 8th of Dhul Hijjah. So that's when the Hijjaj went to Mina, the last Thursday. لقول جابر رضي الله عنه في صفة حج النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فحل الناس كلهم وقصروا إلا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ومن كان معه هدي فلما كان يوم التروية توجهوا إلى منى فأهلوا بالحج. Because of this hadith, there is collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, the hadith of Jabir رضي الله عنه. This is a great hadith. The hadith of Jabir, the ulama, they used as a base hadith for the hajj. Jabir, he explained in detail and narrates to us, irhamukallah, narrates to us in details the Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So a part of it, he said that the Prophet sallallahu, when they got to Mecca, the people who finished the Umrah, they get out of the state of Ihram and they shorten their hair. The ulama, this is because they get there, those who get with the Prophet ﷺ, they get there on the 4th of the Hijjah. And the ulama, this is if someone get there close to the 8th or the 9th, then they can shorten their hair instead of shave it, so they can still have some hair to shave on the 10th. Okay? They do that except the Prophet ﷺ. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he has the hadi with him. And also anyone from the companions who had the hadi with them too, brought the hadi, they remain in their ihram until the 8th of the Hijjah. They all go to Mina, and with the Hajj, all of them, they make the tahlil, the yuhillu bil Hajj. ويحرم بالحج من مكان الذي هو نازل فيه سواء كان في مكة أو خارجها أو في منى ولا يذهب بعد إحرامه فيطوف بالبيت. Now in this point, the Shaykh explained to us when and where actually, what is the place that you engage in a state of ihram with hajj? When you say labbaik Allahumma hajj, where? On the 8th of the Hijjah, because we know this is going to take place on the 8th of the Hijjah. So now where? He says, in any place the hajj is staying in. Those who have their place, whether a hotel, a villa, a house, apartment building in Mecca, that's when they say labbaik Allahumma hajj, from where they stay. Those who are outside Mecca, they don't have to come to Mecca. And even those who are in Mina, it's permissive for those people who already went to Mina before the 8th, then they make the Ihram, the state of Hajj from Mina. They are already in Mina, and they can say, Labbaik Allahumma Hajj from there. and they don't have, they shouldn't go to the to make tawaf. Or certain people, they think, look, whenever you make ihram, you have to make tawaf. La. Now, in the, yes, if a person first time coming to Mecca, yes, the first thing they do when they get to the Masjid al-Haram, to make tawaf. Not on the 8th of the Hijj. On the 8th of the Hijj, la, people they go to Mina. At least they are already in Mina. But they don't go back, make tawaf. That's not from the Sunnah. قال شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله فإذا كان يوم التروية أحرم فيفعل كما فعل عند الميقات إن شاء أحرم من مكة وإن شاء من خارج مكة هذا هو الصواب وأصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما أحرموا كما أمرهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من البطحاء والسنة أن يحرم من الموضع الذي هو نازل فيه. Summary to the statement of شيخ الإسلام ابن تيمية رحمه الله تعالى is that the people they engage in a state of ihram and say لبيك اللهم حج from where they are. He said even though it's permissible if they want to go outside of Mecca and do it, it's okay. He says, but actually the Prophet, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they engaged in the state of ihram as they were commanded by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Batha. Batha is an area in Mecca. So he says, so therefore the sunnah is that a person engaged in the state of ihram on the 8th of the Hijjah from whatever place they are staying in. Now, وكذلك المكي يحرم من أهله كما يعني من بيته كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من كان منزله دون مكة فمهله من أهله حتى أهل مكة يهلون من مكة انتهى. Likewise, the person who is Makki, al-Makki meaning the person who resides in Mecca, from the people of Mecca. What is people they make their intention? They don't go to a miqat like other people who's coming beyond or before the miqat. No, from their house, whatever it is, he's in his house, that's his miqat, become his miqat, and only for him. Okay? Because he resides in Mecca, they don't have to go to the miqat. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, any person who his house is after the miqat, meaning towards Mecca, between the miqat and Mecca, then their home is their miqat. That's when they make the state of ihram. You don't have to go back, travel back to the miqat. He says, even the people of Mecca, they make their ihram in Mecca. That's for Hajj. As for Umrah, the ulama, they says, they have to go out to the hill. Okay? That's why they have to go out the sanctuary of Mecca. Why not in Hajj? Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, Hafidahullah, he says, because in Hajj, they go to Arafat. Because in Umrah, they stays in Mecca. They don't go outside the boundaries of Mecca. That's why they have to go out and make their intentions for Umrah from outside the boundaries of the Haram. Why they don't do it when they go for Hajj? He says, because when they go to Arafat, they step out the boundaries of the Haram. Okay? So the person who's making Umrah and Hajj, they have to combine between these two things. Whether coming out of the hill and go in the sanctuary of Mecca, or those who live in Mecca, inside the boundaries of the sanctuary of Mecca, then because they're going to go to Arafat. Is that clear? I hope so. Tayyib. A lot of these things, it looks to you now like it's not clear, but once you make Hajj, alhamdulillah, first time, maybe the second, third, we can start to get clear. Now, this is like practice, you know. This is a lot of practice in here. It's only a lot of theories, you know. It's like someone's going to tell you, look, you take the saw, cut from this angle. You don't know what he's talking about. And then after you cut from this angle, go flip the whatever around degree 45 and mark in here. And then get the other saw, not that one, the other. And you'll be like, you don't know, you never did that. You'll be like, what are you talking about? What angle? What saw he's talking about? What screws, you know? And they see the piece you cut before, right? Not the other one, the other one. Like the other one. And people get confused. But once you go on a shop and start cutting, now all the pieces, what? Come together. Likewise in Hajj. You study, alhamdulillah, and then once you get there, Allah, what you say? Oh, subhanAllah, that's what it is. MashaAllah. And it's all going to come together in your mind. Alright? طيب. وقال ابن القيم رحمه الله فلما كان يوم الخميس ضحى توجه يعني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بمن معه من المسلمين إلى منى فأحرم بالحج من كان أحل منهم من رحالهم ولم يدخلوا إلى المسجد ليحرموا منه بل أحرموا ومكة خلف ظهورهم انتهى. Ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله تعالى, as in Zad, he mentioned also when it was the Thursday, because the Prophet the 8th of the Hijjah was Thursday, just like this year, alhamdulillah, see? That was a Thursday as well. So those people who made Hajj this year, alhamdulillah, they agreed with the Hajj of the Prophet as related to the time, okay? They agreed. Because the Prophet he went to Muna on Thursday. This year the people they went to Muna on Thursday. The Arafah of the Prophet was Friday. Likewise, those people who made Hajj today, this year, alhamdulillah, this year actually, their Arafah was on Friday. So Ibn al-Qayyim and other from the ulama, they mention yes, there is virtues if Arafah comes on Friday. There's many virtues. And they mention from them, yes, because mashallah your Hajj came in the same time, same days as the Hajj of the Prophet ﷺ. And also now you're making Arafah. And on Friday, these are two great days. Great day of Jumu'ah, Friday, and the great day of Arafah. Alhamdulillah, he said, khair. As for those who they say, look, if some people, their Arafah is on Friday, they agreed with the Arafah of the Prophet ﷺ, 70 Hajj. Where is the Dalil? Now, these people know who is the Dalil. There is no Dalil, the ulama, he says. They don't know of any Dalil that says if Arafah coincides on Friday, those Hujjaj, they will have 70 Hajj, or their Hajj is accepted. Now, it's good. It's a great virtue for them. Alhamdulillah, dalika fadlullah yu'tihi man yasha. Okay? Barakallahu fiik. Ibn al-Qayyim rahmat alayhi says, when it was a Thursday in the morning, the duha, which is in the morning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he went with the Muslims to Mina. Okay, for they were, whatever they are in Mecca, they proceed towards Mina. He says, so those people who they were already out of Ihram, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has ordered, when they get to Mecca, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he ordered the companions, anyone who did not bring the hadi, switch it to Umrah. You see? And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he didn't bring the hadi, he would certainly switch it to Umrah as well. So those who they already switched to Umrah, and mashallah, now they are in a state of hilm, alhamdulillah, on that day they get in a state of Ihram again. On the 8th of the Hijjah, they engage in a state of Ihram again and say, Labbaik Allahumma Hajj. He says, look, nor the Prophet ﷺ nor his companions went back to the Masjid al-Haram. They didn't go back to it. They did not make tawaf. Rather, the house of Allah was behind their back. Okay, and they proceed to Mina. So now you find certain people, they just like, no, you gotta go to see the Kaaba before you go to Mina. Why are you gonna see the Kaaba? The Prophet ﷺ didn't do that. But some juhal, that's those people who they go with them, they tell them, no, you have to go to see the Kaaba. Let's say they salute the Kaaba. Yeah, they go salute the Kaaba. And this is not from the Sunnah. And they put on themselves a hardship by them coming the whole way to the Masjid and then trying to find the right back to. And that's a hardship, and there is no reward. Rather, if they believe that this is something good, it's an innovation, because the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it. So Allah said, they go through a lot of hardship, and for nothing, but for sin. وَالْعِيَادَ بِاللَّهِ قَالْ وَبَعْدَ الْإِحْرَامِ يَشْتَغِلُ بِالتَّلْبِيَةِ فَيُلَبِّي عِنْدَ عَقْدِ الْإِحْرَامِ يُلَبِّي بَعْدَ ذَلِكِ فِي فَتَرَاتِ وَيَرْفَعُ صَوْتَهُ بِالتَّلْبِيَةِ إِلَى أَنْ يَرْمِي جَمْرَةَ الْعَقَبَةِ يَوْمَ الْعِيدِ. Once a person engage in the state of Ihram by saying Labbaik Allahumma Hajj, now because we're talking about the 8th of the Hijjah, then the person make Talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik, Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika laka. That's the Talbiyah. Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik, Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk, la sharika laka. you say this often. You say it on the day of the 8th of the Hijjah. That night, the 9th of the Hijjah, at Arafat, at Muzdalifah, and the morning of the day of the Eid, and you continue until when you get to Jamrat al-Aqaba. Before you throw Jamrat al-Aqaba, that's when the Talbiyah is over. That's when the Talbiyah is over. Now, so قال ثم يخرج إلى منى من كان بمكة محرمين يوم التروية. So everybody leave to Mina on that day, alhamdulillah, to Mina. And the Shaykh says it's better that they leave before Dhuhr time. They make it to Mina before Dhuhr so that they pray Dhuhr in there. Because that's what Prophet ﷺ did. Prophet ﷺ, he got there before Dhuhr, he prayed Dhuhr in there, and he prayed Asr and Maghrib and Isha and Fajr. Naam, and Fajr. Because the Prophet, because of Jabir, the Hadith of Jabir as well, that the Messenger of Allah ﷺ went to Mina. He arrived. The Prophet ﷺ, he rode his she camel and he went to Mina. So it's permissible to ride. Some people say, no, you cannot ride. Yeah, you can ride. Alhamdulillah. Especially if you don't know where you're going. This is going to walk. You walk and get lost. You know, you ride with the people, wait for your ride. The Prophet ﷺ, he went there and he prayed Dhuhr and Asr and Maghrib and Isha and Fajr. And the sunnah in Mina, this is a rule. Whenever you're in Mina, you shorten the prayers that have four rak'at and you don't combine. There is no combining in Mina. Whether on this day or on the days of Tashri'ah. On the 10th and the 11th, 12th and 13th. The Prophet ﷺ, after he prayed Fajr, the next day, which is now what day? Huh? The day of Arafah, what is it? The 9th. It's not always Jum'ah. For the Prophet ﷺ, it was Jum'ah, but it's not. It could be Saturday, it could be Tuesday, it could be Wednesday, it could be any day. Okay? So the 9th of the Hijjah, that morning after Fajr, the Prophet ﷺ, he remained until the sun rises, and the Prophet ﷺ, he proceeded towards Arafah. And this is not going to Mina on that day, it is not an obligatory, but rather it is sunnah. Likewise, getting the state of Ihram on that 8th of the Hijjah is not obligatory, it's a sunnah. So the Shaykh says, if someone engages in the state of Ihram before the 8th or after, it's okay. It's okay. And spending the night in Mina, like after the end of the day, the 8th day of the Hijjah, going to the 9th, spending that night in Mina and praying in it, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, and Fajr of next day, it's a sunnah, it's not obligatory. That's why the ulama says, if a person on the 8th goes straight to Arafah, it's okay. And stayed in Arafah and spent the night in Arafah instead of spending the night in Mina that night, it's okay. There is nothing wrong with that. But one thing, they have missed a great deal of reward by them not going. So for those who have the ability to go to Mina, they go. But sometimes you may be with certain group or agency and you're only one of the group, they put you on a bus and you don't even know where you're going. And you think you're in Mina and then you find out that you're in Arafah. You before you went there, you wanted to do everything what the Prophet ﷺ do. But those people, they took you somewhere else. Illabas, inshallah, you don't worry about it. Inshallah, okay? Because spending that night in Mina is from the sunan, from the sunnah. If you do it, you have a great deal of good deeds, alhamdulillah. If you don't do it, it doesn't take nothing away from your hajj. It's not like your hajj is not valid. Like. We stop here. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.